Hi, Donald.
Y'all like Lil Nas X?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't really know too much about him other than the
I love this boy.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah.
That song he got right now, you need an instantly. That shit is fire. And people throw dirt on your names. I know. And it ain't to cry, but it's hard to lie whenever you're past mistakes and people throwing. That shit is fire. Since 10, I was feeling lonely, had friends, but they was picking on me. And I can't understand what he says, but then he gets deep with it. He's like, these gay feelings used to haunt me. I wish God would take them from me. That shit is fire, dude,
it's
man.
Good.
Like,
really good.
He speaks truth. Right, dude. He speaks truth through his music.
Does he
man.
Ride a pole to hell in this one, in this music video?
Not in this one. No, he does not. But that cracked me up. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. You guys don't know it yet, but we shot some stuff in a Hyundai. And we talked about.
It was fun yesterday. We drove around LA. The episode, we don't know when it's going to air, right, Joelle?
I think it's the 22nd or the 25th, that week sometime.
We did a special episode where we drove around Los Angeles, the four of us. We took the show on the road.
We got to all be in the same vicinity together for the first time.
I know.
In a long time, really.
Before this quarantine happened, our plan, as we've told you, was to be in a studio and then. Pandemic hit, literally LA shut down the day we were supposed to start, and we all ended up doing it over Zoom. And then this was the very first episode we've all ever done in the same space in a car.
It's amazing. I'm so happy that we I'm so happy that we got to do it.
I laughed a lot yesterday.
I laughed so much. I was about to say, I think you guys are gonna enjoy the ride. Also, we videoed it.
Yes.
It's all on, we put it on video. So maybe you guys will see it up on another site.
Yeah, I think we should. Like I think we should put it on YouTube.
I agree. I mean,
don't you?
If the people show up and watch it, we can do this often. You know what I mean?
Well, I just thought it was cool. You know, people have been asking for video, and here it's just shitty Zoom video. So it's like, I guess we could put that up. Also, Daniel has all the recordings, so we could maybe one
all
day
of
do
them.
That. You do
all
right?
Of them. Oh yeah.
Don't erase them.
No,
but
never.
For,
oh my God!
But for my focus keeps changing on this camera
because you
jerk.
Got that
stay
HD.
On me.
You got that
stay
urch,
on me,
H,
baby.
Urch D. You got that urch
the,
D. Son.
I wish I could talk to the autofocus and like, baby, the focus should be here, girl.
You got that 4K urch D, baby.
Anyway, so we shot the whole thing with GoPros, and so maybe we'll put it up on YouTube because we have it and it'll be fun.
Yeah, but we talked about Lil Nas X and him. Riding down the stripper pole into hell.
Yeah.
At one point, I think that was after.
No, this was in your house after we were
laughing. Yeah, that's right.
About
that wasn't my house.
Because I sent you a meme.
Yeah,
of
that
a
little
guy.
Of that guy talking about how it was offensive and everything. And the minute Lil Nas X jumps onto the stripper pole, you hear.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
I don't know that you need to do the sound effect of masturbation with your mouth, but okay, now we have that. Daniel, I'm going to need that in the sound pad. Give me a clean track of it, Donald.
Here you go, ready?
For the sound pad.
Here we go, here we go. Let me take the headphones off.
Really lay it down like you're an artist. No, I'm not getting enough. Oh, I don't need the orgasm noise.
You don't want the orgasm.
I guess you did it into the H6 mic, so I'll have it clean. Daniel, I'm going to need that nice and juicy. It'll be like, what do they call it, ASMR? It'll be like masturbation ASMR.
Do you remember the one the one that Howard Stern had on his show where it was just, oh,
that's where Gurgle Gurgle came from. It was like,
is that
actually, I think Gurgle Gurgle was Tracy Morgan on the Howard Stern show going, gurgle, gurgle, gurgle.
Joelle had to take off her headphones. She can't take
Joelle,
it.
Did you take a headphone break?
I did. Just a little one. Just a little one.
I'm sorry, Joelle.
Yo, I had part of a rap written for this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking, I don't know where the page went. I went to start because I started it.
We can't
with,
even blame it on weed anymore because you don't smoke weed anymore.
I started that
notes app, fam.
I started it. I know, right? Instead of doing it on paper. I started it and then. You know, I was like, all right, I'm happy with this for the opening. Now I got to watch the show. And, you know, that was days ago that I started it. And then I watched the show and I was like, damn. But this isn't going to be in sequence, right?
You know, you'll have some time before this episode airs.
Okay, so maybe I'll send it to you guys if you guys want.
I really think, you know, the fans are clamoring for more raps from you, Donald.
Okay, so if I can figure it out, here goes the recap. At some point, we'll do something like that, and then I'll send it to Daniel.
I was at Donald's house yesterday when his daughter, my goddaughter, lost her very first tooth.
She did.
I felt so excited that I got to be there for that moment.
Speaking of teeth, my dog bit Joelle yesterday too.
Yeah, Donald's dog also bit Joelle. It's a very dog biting month for this family.
Right. Yes.
Although Joelle, even though you got nipped at, you did not get a Rottweiler on your thigh.
I was gonna say afterwards. I was thinking as we were coming back, I was thinking like, oh man, at least it wasn't on the thigh. Like, I can't even because it hurt pretty bad for like a second. I'm fine now. It's okay. But Joelle, I can't even imagine on your thigh.
Let's sue. I'll be your lawyer.
I don't got no money, Joelle. I send all my kids to private school. I don't got no money, Joelle.
Well, anyway,
you can sue me, but I don't pay.
It's healing up pretty great. It's like we're almost there.
What your dog did to her? Oh my goodness!
Oh my gosh!
Well, back to the positive thing. It was so sweet when she lost her tooth, and then she was after her tears were done. She was walking around showing us all her lower jaw over and over again.
The best part.
It was very cute. Did the tooth fairy come through?
Oh yeah, the tooth fairy.
What did the tooth fairy bring?
The Tooth Fairy bought her $20.
Oh, wow. Good.
A tooth is so much more now.
Whoa. That's a generous Tooth Fairy.
And the $20 was sprinkled with fairy dust all over. Aww.
I couldn't tell. She's young enough to believe in the Tooth Fairy, right? I couldn't.
Dude,
I was
cut that, Daniel. Because if she listens to this, I don't want that to. She definitely believes in the Tooth Fairy, dude.
Okay, but why is your daughter listening to the podcast when we're talking about the dirtiest shit ever?
Because I'm always with them. They don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Like, they might be like,
just did a fucking masturbation sound with your fucking mouth.
They have no idea what masturbation is or freaking the sound of masturbation, ass face.
You called me twat ears last episode.
They don't know what a twat is, dude. Come on.
All right. But when you start saying shit like the Tooth Fairy.
Dude, I'm worried about that. I'm worried about Santa Claus. I'm worried about all. We got to stop. Just stop. Okay. We don't have to cut that, Dano. I'm going to make sure that they don't listen to this episode.
Yeah, just make sure. I just think it's hilarious that you are fine with them hearing you yell at me that my name is Twat Ears.
That's the best nickname ever.
But you're worried about the Tooth Fairy being outed as fake. No, because I was at your house and I was like, oh, Tooth Fairy. I was like talking up the Tooth Fairy and I just couldn't read from her face if she was down.
Who was that reporter that was so worried at like 11 o'clock at night whenever her show came on that kids were watching and that somebody said that Santa was black? What was her name again? She had a NBC show or something like that.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. She was a Fox
Not
News
Megyn
reporter.
Kelly, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly. She was so worried that at 11 o'clock when her show was on, that some kid was going to be up and
I'd be terrified of the fact that Santa was black.
Of the fact that Santa was black. That shit was like, oh my gosh.
Hilarious, because in my house, Santa was definitely black.
Hell yeah, Santa. In my house, Jesus is black, all right?
Yes.
So what you talking about? What you talking about?
He was a Middle Eastern Jew. Don't tell anyone, okay? Listen.
Oh, see? See? In Zach's house, Jesus is a Middle Eastern Jew.
In everyone's house.
In the Bible.
In everyone's house, Jesus is a Middle Eastern Jew. Speaking of reporters, Donald and I are doing an interview after this with a very fancy reporter from the Washington Post.
That'll be fun.
That's how fancy our podcast has gotten. The Washington Post wants to interview us, Donald.
That's crazy.
Don't say anything embarrassing like twat ears.
I mean, if she brings it up.
No, she's not going to bring it up.
What context would she bring?
If she's like, well, what do you guys have any names that are like, do you have any names like terms that are terms of endearment towards each other? And I'd be like, yeah, twat ears.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's be on our best behavior in front of the Washington Post reporter. I thought she was going to come on the show like the last time we had a reporter, but I think that she just wants to talk to us off the proverbial air. Mm.
She wants to get the scoop before Family Feud.
Right. Family Feud. I saw there's a trailer. I retweeted a trailer for it. Joelle, I saw you did too. That's exciting. We're still not allowed to answer.
You're back on Twitter?
I slipped a little bit and did a couple of retweets, I have to say. but I'm gonna get back off. It's like I fell off the wagon Twitter. For a second. Yeah, I've always done promotional Twitter, but yeah. No, I did. I was bored the other day and found myself looking at what was trending. By the way, I watched that fight last night because you told me to watch that fight. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever. I'm so mad. I gave those men $50. Well, I mean, that was fucking ridiculous.
I will say this: Floyd is an older gentleman now, and so he's not necessarily. You know, I mean, let's put it this way. He puts on a great show because, in my opinion, I feel like he could have started the fight the way he did the whole thing. And instead, he let it. I mean, he could have started the fight the way he finished the fight. In between round 3 and 8, it was clear that Floyd was dominating and this kid was outclassed. But Floyd, being the businessman and the showman that he is, one, it went 8 rounds. 2, he was very nice at the end of the thing. I'd love to see what Logan Paul does against a heavyweight now.
No, I don't know anything about boxing, but I learned a little bit from asking people. So did Logan Paul – it's Logan or Jake that was the
– Logan. It was Logan Paul,
Did
yesterday.
Logan do a good job? I mean, for an amateur, he did last 8 rounds, right?
Listen, for the show that we paid for, he did great. I would like to see him fight another heavyweight. The thing is, compared to you, me, Daniel, and Joel, he's definitely a phenomenal fighter. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
I don't know anything. I saw that he was ripped and I saw that he didn't get killed. So I don't know anything about it. But you're saying he's got real potential.
Him and his brother both have skills to actually win fights. The thing is, they're taking fights that are money grabs.
Right. Yeah, which is fine. Wrong with that. He's a businessman.
Which is fine. He's a businessman.
I'm a businessman.
Because the minute they lose, the gravy train's over. The money's over. But they definitely have recognized, okay, if we play bad guy, we're going to get a lot of money.
They are so fine. You know, I've never met them. I've never seen anyone so okay with being the villain. They're like WWF bad guy wrestlers from
it
the
pays
boys,
really
will.
Well. I know. You know what I mean? You might have
but
a lot
in real
of people
life,
that hate
they're like
you.
Bad guys in from the WWE or F, whatever you call it these days. Like, but in real life, they're just fine being like the troll.
That makes a lot of money.
I know.
You know what I mean?
How much it do you think they each? What are they saying? They each
I know
made
Mayweather got $100 million last night for that fight. Mayweather
really?
Did. Mm. Yeah.
And then what did Logan make?
I have no idea.
Logan Paul had a guaranteed $250,000 and 10% of the pay per view viewings.
So then he definitely got paid.
Joel, can you Google what they're saying? I don't know if it's out
the
yet.
Earnings were, for
just,
sure.
That is the answer. I just told you. He had guaranteed $250,000 and then
Daniel,
10%.
I don't know why you turned up the sassafras. I'm curious what 10% of the purse was.
Oh, I don't
know. Well, if
I don't know
let's
if they'll
say
release
this.
That. Do you think they'll release that?
I don't know. All I know is if Mayweather got $100 million, I'm sure he got the $100 million from the pay-per-view.
Probably.
So that would mean that Logan gets 10-ish or something.
Dude, yeah. Knock me the fuck out for Tim. Look, man, listen, I get it, dude. All these
would
cats that are going.
Would you take a punch from a boxer in your weight class for 10
Fuck no. No, I weigh too much. No. No. But I put on, listen, I feel like everybody out there, if somebody said $20 million to go on TV and I'll act, look, even if you whiff and miss, I'll make that shit look like you got me good. And the legs will go out and everything. And I'll fall flat on my face for $20 million?
Well,
are you kidding
20.
Me?
We're thinking it's probably 10. Let's just keep it regular.
For $10 million.
Keep it a buck.
For $10 million.
Right, but I'm saying like, now, someone told me, my trainer actually told me that Mayweather's not known for knocking people out.
Correct.
No, not lately.
That doesn't mean that younger. That doesn't mean his punch wouldn't hurt like hell. But it sounds like Mayweather's not going to knock you out for $10 million.
As he got older, he stopped knocking people out and became more of a technical fighter and outclassed people.
So, would you go in the ring with Mike Tyson for $10 million?
Fuck you, no.
I'd kill you.
You'd die.
No.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And Mike Tyson's a nice person outside of the ring. When he sees you, it's all love and everything like that. But there's a switch that turns on,
right,
and a fight is a fight is a fight,
yeah,
dude, and he
off.
Will fuck you up.
I was going to say, just as a quick side note, this episode actually comes out after Family Feud premieres.
This one does, but not the interview. Mm-hmm.
Well, not the...
Yes.
Right, but that person's not here right now. So I'm just saying, if you wanted to tell people how you felt about Family Feud.
Oh, you're saying you could tell them. We can talk about Family Feud.
I'm saying at this point, we could talk about it if you wanted to.
Are you sure that it comes out after Family Feud?
Yeah, well, because the episode that's coming out tomorrow, I sent to you guys in your inbox, but then the episode that's coming out next Tuesday is this one.
Oh, when does Family Feud? When does our Family Feud air?
Sunday. This Sunday. This upcoming Sunday.
Oh, wait, this coming Sunday?
Yes, this coming Sunday. The
13th. I'm not good with dates.
Did everybody watch us last night on Family? Or did everybody watch us this weekend on Family Feud?
And even if you see how we did, it's on Hulu now. It's releasing the next day on Hulu on Monday. So even if you didn't see it live, research.
Well, if you didn't see us on Family Feud, you can watch it on Hulu. Did you guys like us on Family Feud? We're winners.
Big time. Big time.
Smoked them.
It was kind of a bloodbath. It felt unfair at the end.
It was uncomfortably. We really rocked them.
We rocked.
I had one really dumb answer. I panicked.
Did I.
Well, what happens is after the most obvious ones get up there, now you're down to like, what did one random, three random people say out of 100? Totally. It's very hard to guess what that is. I didn't. And so your brain goes, okay, these are the three things I can think of would be the answer. And then there's Steve Harvey looking at you. You don't want the timer to run out, and you just kind of blurt out what comes to your mind. And mine was so bad.
Well, at least you didn't, say that
an alligator would help you get out of the zoo.
California was a city, and an alligator would help you get out of the zoo.
Didn't matter because Los Angeles was the answer. I just have to tell you that moment when we're waiting for that number to appear on the Fast Money. That was one of the most exciting moments of my entire life, was seeing that. You'd be like, Los Angeles, put it on the board, and just being like, we need 38 points, and then 44 pops up.
Oh, my God. Yes! That was the best. Yes! That was the best.
I was like, thank God. I'm not going
to
lie.
I didn't think we were going to win towards the end. When we got to Fast Money, I didn't think we were going to win because I just didn't think we had enough points. And then when we won, I was so happy.
Oh, hell yeah. Amazing. You both had great Fast Money rounds. I mean, I know there was
two good answers in the Fast Money round.
But that's all
I forgot.
You
what was the one I blanked on? I forgot. There was one I didn't get at all.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I wish forgot, I would have watched it so fun last night.
What's funny is that everybody who's watching this is like, I just watched it. How did they not remember?
I know. We haven't watched it because
it was forever ago.
We're recording this before it's been aired. But I'm going to watch it with my family. My family's going to be in town. That'd be fun.
Oh, I think it was the question, like, what would you describe as like a wreck or something?
Oh, yes. Right. I think and that was another one that I got wrong. I said car.
You said
and
car.
And then underneath my breath, I said I should have said my life. Yeah. And that was the number one answer.
Car was still a good answer. Car was a great answer.
It was like eight points.
Did I not even get anything out? I didn't get anything out.
Yeah. May have
but that was
one.
Very surreal. And we won, was it
$25,000? $25,000 for charity.
For Stop AAPI Hate.
For Stop AAPI Hate. So I feel very good that we get to give that money to them. And gosh, fun was had by all.
It really was.
Steve Harvey is glorious in person.
Daniel got to make Steve Harvey do the side eye look.
Oh, yes, Daniel. I was so jealous that Daniel was the only member of the team that got to give him the Steve Harvey look away.
I just want to see what that
is. You know that Bill never got to go to the podium?
That's true.
Yeah, because he was our fifth.
Mm-hmm.
He was our closer.
Mm-hmm. He was our closer.
But we didn't need a closer because we killed
him. I loved having Bill there, too. That was so funny. He was great. All right, should we...
Enough is enough. 5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story. Now you all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
That was quite a preamble, but we just love each other so much. We have so much to say. Do you guys want to go to Disneyland?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Donald and I were thinking about taking, you're like our kids. We were thinking about taking you guys to Disneyland.
I want to go. Yay. When do we pack our bags? How long are we staying?
I'm coordinating with Donald's assistant, Casey. And
that's my wife, dude.
Zach, I love you.
I know. Casey's now is not the time.
Zach, I love you.
I know. That's why we're going to work out a plan.
Hold on.
No. We don't have the theme song
yet. She's here already. Come here.
Oh, my gosh.
Get on the freaking thing and stop.
Having a bad day.
Okay.
She said she's having a bad day.
Hi.
You're having a bad day?
Uh-huh. Yes. My kids are crazy.
I'm sorry.
Well, school's out. School's out. Shit sucks.
Ah, motherhood.
Yeah.
You're the best.
School's out. Shit sucks. Motherhood. You know, I wrote a theme song for you. I don't know if Donald told you.
No.
I wrote, because you become a recurring guest on the show, and we often call upon you for parenting advice, I wrote a little theme song that we're gonna introduce into the show for when we call you onto the show.
Oh, I love it.
And
is
then
it
Donald's
better than
gonna
Bill's?
Donald is gonna lay down the vocal track.
Oh shit.
It's gonna be good.
Okay.
It's good, it's fire.
You're not gonna read it to me right now?
No, because I don't want to sing it, because I want it to be produced and awesome when you first hear your theme song.
Okay.
Are you okay? It sounds like your kids are driving you crazy today.
Yeah, they're driving me crazy. I'm surprised y'all are even able to record with all the screaming going on.
I heard the Donald went outside to be the dad. I heard the Tooth Fairy came through huge.
Oh, yeah. So huge that, you know, she got $20.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Will every tooth be as...
Once you set the bar high, you got to come through with $20
quite
for every
lucrative
tooth.
Teeth.
Well, the Tooth Fairy forgot to get change. You want to know what's even more fucked up?
What? Yes.
I mean, they'll never hear this. You can't play this.
No, he already said he can't, because we've already been talking about the Tooth Fairy.
So I stole $20 out of their piggy bank. Out of their piggy bank. Because I didn't have any cash.
Yes! Oh my gosh, I was over, Casey. You could have taken $20 from me.
This is
oh
what happens when you lose a tooth after 5 p.m.
Oh my, that's so funny. I was thinking, because I knew you guys, I was that's over amazing. Your house, and I was like, do you guys need cash? Do you have cash? I can't believe you had to do that. That's funny.
Yeah, but you know what? It all comes back to her at some point. You know, I'm convinced.
That's
hilarious. I wrote a nice letter, and the $20, I put silver and glitter makeup all over it, so it
love
looks
it.
Like it's sprinkled with fairy dust.
You're a good mommy. You're a good mommy.
That mommy could fly if it had happy thoughts.
Oh, shit.
All right. Well, we love
there
you.
He is.
We
love
you.
Too.
We'll see
Bye.
You soon.
Good to see you, Casey.
We really got to lay down her theme song, guys. I'm really feeling bad about this.
You love me still?
Lee said, love me still?
She said, checking. No.
She said, sometimes.
Love me still?
Sometimes.
All right, we should probably talk about the show Scrubs, bro.
Yeah, you know, I guess my wife's not happy with me right now.
Well, I think it'll be okay.
I think so, too.
Someone did a bit about how they were like, the guy's always upset. Like, my woman, what to do? My girlfriend, my wife, they're so mad at me. And he's like, okay, but she won't be later.
Oh boy!
Oh, but she might be. But
I think that's always a good pep talk to give yourself when you get in a fight. Like, okay, but she won't be later. Anyway, all right, let's talk about Scrubs, brah.
My Drive-By, directed by Will McKenzie.
Yes, and written by Angela Nissel. Very funny episode. I laughed out loud a bunch of times. Very Donald heavy episode. Lots of
very
Donald
Donald heavy episode. I don't know about. Like, the fact that Turk is trying to be modest this whole episode is some bullshit.
Yeah, because Turk's not modest.
We've established that he's far from modest this whole...
But maybe he's just trying to be contrarian to Cox, who's so egotistical in this episode and so cocky, cocky, that maybe... I'm just trying to rationalize why they did this. But maybe Turk's like, no, I'm not trying to be like you. I'm not trying to be like you. But yeah,
okay,
you
I
are so
get,
cocky.
I don't know. Turk is... You know, Turk is kind of like me in a lot of ways. And so I know how cocky I am when it comes to sports and when it comes to knowing sports and stuff like that. And so the fact that Turk is a surgeon and that's like his sport pretty much, it doesn't make sense that, you know, for the whole series he's been this cocky little shithead. And now all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to be modest.
Right.
And I'm not going to, you know, after he performed that emergency tracheotomy, he would have ran into the freaking hospital.
Yeah.
Like, yo, I saved someone. I was on a line. You know what I mean? He would have totally gone.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why they, I mean, they obviously needed, they wanted to do a story about ego and doctors and ego and humans and ego and how our egos control us. And so they needed a yin to Cox's yang. But so maybe that's the only rationalization I came up with, that you were just trying to be different than him and really broadcasting that you had a lot less ego than you actually do.
I'm guessing so. I want to get this out of the way right now. Scrubs Wiki says that you can see the camera and the reflection in the balloon.
Since when do you check Scrubs Wiki?
Well, when I was today, I was like, let's do a little bit of extra credit. Let's check out and see what Scrubs Wiki is.
I didn't think you'd ever been on Scrubs Wiki.
I didn't. I just Googled because I was looking for the name of Mr. Hoffner.
Oh, that
Fred
guy's
Stoller.
So hilarious.
Right. And while doing that, it took me to Scrubs Wiki. So I found out that you can see the camera reflection in the balloon when Cox is checking his reflection. And also, I don't remember this, but Johnny Castle broke both of his legs in a ski accident.
In real life, yeah. And so,
Do you remember this? I didn't remember this.
No, because when this came up with him in two casts, I was like, where is this coming out of nowhere? And I was like, it's odd. In the show, corpses keep falling on him. That's a plot point. And I was like, what? And then I saw on Scrubs Wiki that, Johnny Castle broke both of his ankles or legs in a ski accident.
I think ankles in a ski accident.
And so the writers had to write it in. So they wrote in the janitor drawing on his cast. And he's drawing a brothel that I guess the janitor grew up in a brothel?
No, he didn't grow up in a brothel. His dad took him to a brothel for his 14th birthday.
Yes. And he says, I asked for a bike and I got a 48-year-old whore. Are you saying, oh, no, because we can't say whore anymore?
No. I mean...
Oh, shit.
No, she is. She's saying we can't say whore anymore.
I was saying, oh, because a 14-year-old... 48, it's a lot. A lot is happening in that joke.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, and then Kelso recognizes the brothel as drawn on the cast by the janitor. Johnny Castle says, I'm going to get it off in a week. And he goes, no, I just put too much work into this. You can take them off in a month. And he's like, oh, I'll talk to the orthopedist.
I laughed. Okay, so we know that JD's having a hard time finding a place to live. And Turk asks him, well, what about that guest house? And, you know, the lady's telling him about the house and the owner. And she goes, there he is right there. And JD turns around and the owner's staring at him through the window.
Yeah, sizing me up.
Sizing him up. And he's like, oh, yeah, he'll do perfect.
Yeah, he wants to do things to me.
And JD's like, perfect for what?
Yeah.
And then the callback later is hilarious where you're sitting. That's probably the cleanest the cafeteria window has ever been.
By the way, this is a funny bit of trivia for you who love – this isn't even on Scrubs Wiki, but I'm going to give you guys – Trevor, you should add this. If you're a diehard fan of the show, you know those windows that we always put frost on those windows because – We didn't want to deal with seeing out, even though it was a real hospital and you can see the road. They always had giant pieces of plexiglass frost they would put in front of those windows to just not deal with the outside. And oh, I know why. They would put lights outside there and blast the light through them. Otherwise, you'd see them. And in this episode, all of a sudden, the frost is in there. And I'm like, why did Will McKenzie make the unique choice to remove the frost in this episode? And then I just backed into it. Oh, it's for the joke with that guy outside the window.
That shit had me rolling. Your references came in.
And I go, I didn't give you any references. That guy is hungry for some JD ass.
Or twat ears.
He did not want Vagine. He wanted JD.
I didn't say he wanted Vagine. He said he wanted your twat ears.
Anyway. He's going to fuck my ears?
Yeah.
No, I think he wanted anus.
Perhaps.
Good thing your kids aren't listening to this episode. On account of the tooth fairy.
Johnny does a great job with his big monologue in the opening.
I mean, that monologue must be over a page long.
Easily.
He's so good at that. It's his specialty, those epic long monologues. And he's very funny. He calls himself Jesus H. Cox.
Yeah. He goes there. I wonder how many religious people are like, oh, well, that's it for me and Scrubs.
Yeah, I'm sure. And but luckily they had a Loma to balance them out and represent them.
No doubt.
I thought it was really, this whole Scooter bit with Kelso, I thought was so funny. And the janitor.
I was going to say that. I was like, this is one time where the C storyline probably was the funniest storyline in the whole show, if you right. ask me.
Every time that Scooter was in a scene, first of all, Bill used to call when a character who's has a supporting part like Todd or you know anyone who he would call their lines sort of like drive-bys, meaning they would kind of keep walking, say a line, and walk out like a drive-by. And so this episode's called My Drive-By because Kelso has all these hilarious lines as he's quite literally driving by on the scooter. And I think, you know, Kelso was – I think Bill just kind of leaned into the idea that Ken was amazing at doing sort of drive-by jokes. And so this episode is he's saying the funniest shit as he's literally driving by on the scooter.
It was great. I thought the janitor also stealing the scooter and then painting it was hilarious. And then at the end, when JD finds the scooter in the trash can and he's yeah. driving through the hallway and he literally says doing a gangster lean.
Yeah.
I don't think JD knows what a gangster lean is, though.
I know. He'd probably seen it in rap videos or something. But I thought that when I drive that thing into the cart of all the stuff, I laughed out loud. I'm such a sucker for a physical comedy. That just
I don't necessarily know what a gangster lean is. I just know that it was from that song. This one's for my homies. See you when I get there in that gangster lean, in that gangster lean.
I thought a gangster lean, and forgive me for being naive, it's what I was just, when we were framing up the shot of you in the car yesterday, it's when sort of one hand up with a big lean back, the seat is all the way low and back. That's what I remember seeing in like the rap videos.
That's like if
kid.
You're in a car and you're, but I don't know if that's what a gangster lean is. We should ask Scrubs Wiki. Maybe they know.
He doesn't know. You're not bad. We should have a segment called Ask a Gangster.
You don't want that smoke, dog. You don't want that smoke.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is I thought gangster lean was a thing in the car, like in Boys in the Hood when they would like put the seat all the way low
like
back.
In Boys in the Hood. Listen to him.
I love that movie. That movie's amazing.
Classic film.
Yeah. That movie's amazing.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, that is great
directed
filmmaking.
By the late great John Singleton. Of course, it's amazing.
I watched Mudbound. Is that the movie, Joelle, I was talking to you yesterday about?
Yeah.
Oof, I'd never seen it. That is a powerful movie.
Yes, it is.
If you're looking
it's
for
a Matthew McConaughey joint, right?
No.
No.
You're thinking of just Mud. Dee Reese, is that the filmmaker?
Yes. This is Mary J. Blige and Carey Mulligan.
Mary J. Blige? I didn't know Mary J. Blige could act like that. She's wonderful in this movie.
Got skills.
And Carey Mulligan, it's very good, beautifully photographed, very upsetting. But if you like a dark drama like I do, check out Mudbound.
Can I say something and not sound like a creep?
Yes, go ahead.
I got a little crush on Carey Mulligan, dude.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, who doesn't? She's amazing. Ish. Where did your crush develop? From her latest movie?
From her latest movie.
Yeah.
The one, what's it called? The
with Bo Burnham and what's it called, Joelle? The one, the
promising
woman,
young woman.
Promising young woman.
Oh my gosh,
she's very talented.
Very, very talented.
I've always fancied her, as the British say.
Well, I shouldn't say this is the movie. The movie that really I got a crush on her was the one Gary Llewellyn, whatever that was. It Gary Llewellyn Davis.
Yeah, that's a Coen Brothers movie. Llewellyn.
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Inside
yeah,
Llewellyn Davis.
Llewellyn Davis, yeah. That's dope.
You've never seen Atonement, probably, but that's the movie that I first saw. That's one of my favorite movies.
That's wild.
But I don't want to sound like a creep, so she's a really good actress.
Why do you sound like a creep if you say you find an actress beautiful?
Because I'm married.
Your wife doesn't allow you to say that actress is beautiful?
She'll make me sleep on the couch.
Okay, we have to hide this episode from both your wife and your kids now.
Now we do.
The Tooth Fairy for your kids and Carey Mulligan for your wife. All right. Wait, so let's talk about this Sarah storyline, which is so funny. Sarah, Elliot wants to, she likes this guy. He's doing a really great job, by the way. He's very good. Josh Randall as Jake. He's very likable and funny. And she doesn't want to sleep with him because she really feels like this relationship has potential and she doesn't want it to go awry by sleeping with him too quickly. And so she keeps trying to ruin the moment by having someone around, me.
Yeah.
So there are multiple times where I laughed out loud because they're on the couch together and then you reveal that I'm there with them, her ex-boyfriend.
The thing that cracked me up was like when he was like, I wish I could have sat up front with you. And you said, you go, well, you should have called Shotgun faster.
No, the first time was we're all watching a sexy movie together. What movie?
Yeah,
was
with
it?
Kathleen Turner.
What's that movie? Heat? Oh, Body Heat. I've never seen Body Heat, but I guess it's right. A steamy movie.
And you go, Kathleen Turner has dynamite.
Nerps.
Yeah. Nerps.
I never, first of all, is that a move that people really do? Like put on a sexy movie to like get turned on? I don't think I've ever done that.
That never works. You put
like,
on a sexy.
Oh, I don't know. Let's Netflix and chill and watch 9.5 weeks. Like I've never been someone who's done that.
No. You watch something that you are not going to watch. You don't put on a good movie if you're going to Netflix and chill. You put something on that you really
don't. But
let's watch John Carter.
Yeah, Stuart Little too.
Thanks.
I just think it's funny. I know Body Heat is a sexy movie. I've never seen it, but I think it's funny that that's what we've all chosen to watch, the three of us. But what about then later at the end when they finally start making out and like she mounts him and he's like grabbing her ass and then you cut and I'm in the corner.
You're
I'm
still like, sitting.
I'm like, I guess I should get going. I mean, can you imagine if this was real and I'm really her ex-boyfriend and I'm just sitting there watching them make out? It's like so weird. But
I laughed really hard at Elliot being able to swallow her whole fist.
Now, why is that a turn on? I don't understand.
Are you kidding me?
No, I know the fellatio thing, but isn't the fellatio thing – I'm going to say this so PG, you guys. Just wait. Watch this. The fellatio thing to me is related to the throat, not the physical mouth. I don't understand why people are so turned on.
Because if you could fit a fist down your throat
– She doesn't fit it down her throat. She puts it in her – everyone's turned on by the
– No, she says she can swallow – her fist.
I thought it was she could fit her whole fist in
her
mouth.
No, she could swallow her fist. Joelle, and you guys are like, and you guys are like,
the actual words of the thing is
she can swallow her fist.
I think JD asked her, "Can you swallow your whole fist?" And she's like, "Yeah."
And the guys are all like, "I know, there's no way."
I can't believe this was on prime time.
This is hilarious. That all of the guys are like, "There's no way she could do it." I don't believe she could do it.
First of all, everyone appears out of nowhere.
It's so funny.
Everyone just appears. And then we all, as a group, as like a choreographed group of dancers, we all move in close to see if she's going to do it. I was confused by it because I don't understand why everyone was so impressed that she could fit a fist in
No, it's because she can swallow it.
Okay.
So she could swallow a fist. What
I
else
just can't
do you
believe
think
that
she could
we
swallow?
Got a we got a fellatio.
No, we got a deep throat joke on television.
We got a deep
television.
Throat joke on NBC primetime.
You tried something to keep it PG, but no, that's what it is.
NBC, something tells me that NBC probably wouldn't air a deep throating joke today.
Why not? You're missing out, NBC.
NBC, it's what the people want, NBC. What the people want. We learned that when Sarah's form of sex is to be on top with her eyes closed, yelling, "Don't look at me."
Oh, my gosh.
And then she tells Judy, Carla, that sex is disgusting.
Carla goes, "Yeah, it is." And then she looks at Turk and she's like,
"No, it's not."
But first of all, there were all these episodes where JD and Elliot were together, seemingly having some pretty passionate sex. So I don't understand why.
JD's the one that reveals her go-to position.
I know, but I don't understand. Elliot in those makeout scenes seemed to be an exciting, fun lover.
Yeah, but then the clothes come off, and then she's not.
Oh, that's why her clothes are on. Okay, you're saying the second she's naked, she reverts.
She's like, "Don't look at me." She's all good up until she's naked.
All right. Now,
she's the type of girl that has sex with her T-shirt on.
Yes. By the way, when she pushes Jake in her whole hallway, for those of you that like funny trivia, we see that the door is a very super wide hospital door. It's meant to be an apartment building, but it's so clearly the hospital that someone painted the door because it's like wide enough for a wheelchair giant hospital door. How about when the fucking janitor licks the skid mark from the scooter and tastes it, and he goes, "4, please." He's in the elevator. He can tell by the skid mark taste the scooter's on the fourth floor. That had me laugh out loud. Oh, fucking.
Oh, man. How about, okay, we didn't talk about this. The fact that the guys and then Jordan and Cox bet on old people walking down the hall as a race.
Yeah.
Like it's a race.
Yeah, you got to liven up the boring time at the hospital.
I hear that, man.
Racing. How about, first of all, the guy that you save with the tracheotomy is Jared, who was our office PA at the time.
Yes, yes.
He, I think it's his second cameo on the show. Let me see what else.
He went from he's a producer now, like full fledged, right?
Yeah. Well, this was so many years ago. I hope that he would.
But climb it's just the interesting. Some people don't climb the ladder, and some people stay pretty stagnant and don't go
anywhere.
But if
one was still a PA after 20 years in Hollywood, things really went awry.
There's something wrong, dude. If you're still a PA, let me shut up. Because I'm sure there's a lifer PA out there.
There are lifer PAs. But I bet those lifer PAs wish they weren't PAs.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure of it.
Pour some
this
out
real,
for
the this, well, PAs. Here's the thing, though. This game, the PA and AD game really has a lot to do with people hooking you up, too. Like, you know, that's something that is a real deal Holyfield. To get from set PA, from base camp PA to set PA to, you know, to...
But it's a meritocracy. If you are a badass at what you're doing, people will keep hiring you and you'll keep getting promoted. And then you get in the union and then you can climb... If you so choose to go the assistant director route, you can climb up in the DGA and...
But isn't it like 20 years as a AD before you can actually direct or anything like that unless somebody hooks you up?
Well, as we know in Hollywood, there's absolutely no set path for anything. And I find that most people that go the assistant director route don't normally go the director route. I always thought
that you become an assistant director to learn how to direct and to be able to direct. I thought that's what that was. Just like in the camera thing, you go
from... I'm surprised you think that because it's very often a different part of the brain. It's an organizational sort of conductor of time and people thing as opposed to the creative side of directing.
Well, that's a good question to ask out there. You guys can, you know, I'm sure if you are an assistant director and you're listening to this, you can comment on... both of our Instagrams.
I don't mean, of course, that there aren't assistant directors with aspirations to become directors, but it isn't a traditional route to go.
Okay. Like somebody said to me, I just want to direct, and they were an AD, and I was like, well, why didn't you go to school for directing then, if that's the case? Like, you know,
well, you can. You're definitely right next to the director all the time, and you can watch. And I just find that it's sort of being an assistant director is a different part of the brain than the creative part of directing. It's people that are so skilled at organizing and scheduling.
Yeah, I guess so, because
people.
'Cause you go from AD to UPM usually, right?
You can go that way, or some eventually produce. But a lot of people become career first ADs. You can make a really good living. You actually get residuals as a first AD. My buddy is the first AD on all the Bond movies, and I'm sure he makes a very nice living.
Good for him.
So the bigger the project and the more residuals that are involved, you actually get a cut. So it's a very respectable and very hard but rewarding job. All right, let's talk about the television show Scrubs, Donald.
But before we do that, let's go to break.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these words. And we're back.
We are so back right now.
I am so back. I laughed out loud and wrote the letters LOL at you doing the victory dance on the counter.
Did you?
When you learned that next year was not a leap year and you were right, and off camera, we see you, we hear that you've leapt from a standing position onto the counter.
Turk has a dance that he does when he's correct, when he's right. I love that.
Turk also has a very big, what do you call it when you can jump high from without a run?
He has hops.
He has hops. Ups or hops?
Same thing.
But would you say, oh man, Donald has big ups?
No, but you could big up somebody. You'll big up to the, you know what I mean? He got hops or he got leaps. He can leap or she can leap.
In the basketball world, when you're training, you definitely want to develop your ability to jump high without a run step, I imagine.
Yeah, that's your vertical.
Your vertical leap. Turk has a very good vertical leap.
He has it's probably 42 inches, I imagine. 42, 50, something like that.
Okay.
He could probably dunk a basketball when he was younger.
Yes, like you.
Just like me, yeah. Just like
you could dunk, right?
When I was younger, yeah. Let's talk about the gallbladder and Mr. Yes. Hoffner.
Yes, that one. Fred Stoller, the man could just read the alphabet and I'd giggle. He's so funny.
Mm-hmm. He made me laugh really. He makes me laugh really hard. And it all goes back to the chicken.
The chicken.
No, but you said the chicken.
Yeah. Well, now he doesn't know if he wants his gallbladder out. Cox is tired of explaining them. He wants you to come in cocky and confident, and you're just being contrarian and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not me right now.
He says, Turk says, I'm capable. When asked, are you a good surgeon? I'm capable.
Are you a good surgeon? That's how you read it.
Why do I need a gallbladder?
Chicken.
You know the chicken.
Chicken. Fred Stoller. Very funny man.
Very funny.
Now, Kelso built a ramp on the roof.
Yeah.
Now, did anyone help him or was Kelso up there building the ramp? I mean, it must have some structural integrity because a very heavy scooter is going to drive up it.
Yes.
He didn't just lean a piece of plywood. I mean,
He built a ramp. He built a ramp. Do you think Ted built the ramp?
Yeah, that would have been funny. They should have cut to Ted hammering it. But the janitor has figured out his plan and parks Kelso's car. They really dropped that scooter through that car.
Yeah, most of our effects are practical on Scrubs.
Almost all. I mean, what are you thinking of? It wasn't practical. I mean, there's an occasional green screen thing, but
yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's an occasional green screen thing, or you know.
But I mean, that was the fun of the show is that it was all like real. Like they just would bring in a crane and just drop a fucking scooter through a car.
Like how do you explain that to Disney and or NBC? Well, there's this stunt that we have. Well, okay. Well, how are you going to do that? We're just going to drop a...
We're just going to do it. I think that was one of the benefits. We talked about this in the car ride yesterday, but one of the benefits to being on our own back lot, which was just the hospital, was we could kind of do whatever we wanted. You know, if you do that kind of thing on a lot, you probably need a lot more permission to do the stuff that we were doing. But we would just do it. I mean, if it was in the budget, we would do it.
Didn't for Christmas one year we built a giant snow mound so people could sled down that shit?
It sounds right.
Right?
I just remember that the me going in the Wizard of Oz episode, me going into the scooter into the puddle and appearing in the next puddle. That was Randall always said that was the most expensive stunt ever.
What about, didn't they build a sandcastle in the...
Yes, yeah, so, and Bill told that story, right? That they misunderstood how big he wanted it. So when he showed up, there was a full-size livable sandcastle in the parking lot. He's like, and they never changed it to be a fantasy. It was a livable sandcastle, though.
Right, well, you know.
So the janitor has all these keys, but he's lost one to the mental health ward, and there's a man walking around in a doctor's coat smoking a gavel.
I'm telling you right now, this show is made for stoners, man.
Oh,
it's
my
made
God.
For stoners.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. It definitely pairs nicely with Jazz Cabbage. But it doesn't Kelso say something like, was he smoking a gavel? And then Jazz is like, I believe so. And then later when the scooter goes off the ramp, he appears on the roof and just watches with them smoking the gavel. Where the fuck did he get a gavel? Why is there a gavel? Know. Why is there even a gavel?
In the hospital, what's the use of a gavel?
If you think about it, what a funny thing a gavel is. Like a ceremonial hammer that you bang on the table.
For order.
For order? And why is there one? Why did the hospital have a gavel? I don't know.
Is he smoking a gavel? Yeah. I believe so. I believe so.
Oh, I get an there's an assisted five for Todd, probably the only assisted five.
Right.
Now, I don't understand why Todd and you are like occasionally doing cosmetic surgery. I don't think that's very accurate to medicine.
Well, it would be accurate if that's all that Todd did, because that makes sense.
But this is supposed to be like a city hospital, and yes. I just don't understand why you guys are occasionally, this is like the second or third time there's been a breast augmentation joke with the Todd, and I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know much about medicine, but I think that's a specific cosmetic surgeon who does that.
If Todd goes into private practice, right. If he goes into private practice, we know what his private practice would be. He would be
doing
like penis enlargements, yes. jugs.
Anything to do with enlarging genitalia and breasts.
Or not just that, or the removal of genitalia.
I don't think he would do that. He wouldn't want to do removals.
You know, right? Why would you want to get rid of this perfectly good dong?
Penis. It's a perfectly beautiful dong. Can I have it? Since you're getting rid of it.
Hey, well, you know,
it must hurt so much to have your penis removed.
Well, come on, man. You don't know. You're under, probably.
No, I don't mean you're not under. I'm just saying, even if you're happy that you've gotten it removed because it's your choice, I would imagine there's a lot of pain for a while.
And a major appendage has been cut off. It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be painful.
Yeah.
And did they remove the penis
like
and then let it heal before they construct the vagina? Or
it's constructed out of the penis.
Out of the penis. So it's all one full swoop.
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, I'm glad people are getting what they want, but I just imagine that would be painful. I'm holding my penis because it's sounding like it hurts as we're discussing it.
Where do the balls go?
They throw them out.
Those are taken off.
Yeah, you don't keep your balls with your new vagina. Although that would be awesome. Do you think there's anyone who's ever said, like, leave the balls to give me a vagina? I'm sure.
There's just a desire for everything in someone out there, so.
Right. So someone's particular desire was leave the sack, give me a vagine.
Now, if I'm correct, we don't have to keep this in, but is that what queer is then? Where it doesn't matter what the sexuality, I mean,
queer is an umbrella term. Queer is everybody fits under the queer umbrella. So if you fit the LGBTQIA spectrum, you can consider yourself queer.
Anywhere on the spectrum, you're anywhere. Queer. So that's a way for people to say, like, I don't even know exactly where I fall or what I like, but I'm under the umbrella. I'm queer.
I like queer because it doesn't leave everybody out and it's not a bunch of letters that are frequently evolving, which is fair and fine and good for the community, I think. But queer is just a catch-all and I like it.
Right. So, Joelle, I'm actually interested in this. Because it does feel like it's evolving all the time. Does the gay community approve? I know it's what giant community approves of everything, but does the most part, do they approve of the umbrella term queer or do they prefer LGBTQ, et cetera?
A lot of people in my generation are very comfortable with the word queer. There are some older gays who are not comfortable with it because it was used as mostly a slur as they were coming up.
Yeah, slander, so
it doesn't feel good to them to reclaim it in the same way that some older Black people don't like to reclaim the N-word because they don't feel comfortable with it. It just sort of depends. I'm not sure what hi Gen Zers, please tell me how you guys feel about it. I'm not sure how the babies feel. They're on a whole new wave and category of the queer umbrella. They're just like, gender, why? Why are just, why do yeah, we have it? We it don't ju- want it. Just seems, it's stupid.
I agree with that. The young people in the world are like, you know what? Let's just throw out all gender, period, and just say, you know, they, them, or whatever it is. Whereas it seems like, and
we were so defined by it. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Toy aisles,
you know what I mean?
And all these things. Like, we are, I very firmly in a cis female category of being, but you know, it's been really revolutionary for me to watch a lot of my friends who formerly identified as female being like, you know, who also didn't ever like. Growing up, we're like, I don't feel like, well, I'm not definitely not a dude, but like, I don't feel like a woman. And what is that? That's so weird. And there was so much confusion and stress around, like, how am I supposed to reject this gender that doesn't exist? It's weird. And they felt weird about it. And so now for them to just be like, no, oh, I'm non-binary. Great. I was like, it's really wonderful. Like watching these people blossom under a term that helps
them. Of course. It must be so freeing. It's like totally disrupting the entire conversation about having to be one or the other. I must be so freeing for people.
I'm watching so many people bloom and blossom into like the very comfortable, like a very comfortable space of themselves, which is really wonderful. So yeah.
Now cis means what? Stereotypically,
cisgender, one gender. Yeah. You're cis. This is the gender you were born with, and you identify as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I learned that.
You're learning a lot.
On the L word, I've learned quite a few terms that exist out there. Cis was one of them. Cis was one of them.
What does CIS stand for?
I don't think it stands for anything. I think it's just a prefix.
Yeah.
I just wonder what the origin of the word is.
The prefix cis means on the same side as. So while people who are transgender move across genders, people who are cisgender remain on the same side of the gender they were initially identified at as birth.
Okay. So I would be cis. Mm-hmm.
You would be a cis man.
If that's how you feel.
Today I do.
Hell yeah.
Good change.
The guest is here, by the way.
I know, but now I'm
this conversation is fascinating. I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all. Like, this is something that I wish everybody would converse about so that they could totally understand and, you know, at least voice some sort of, you know, understanding, because this is the way it's moving, you know, and if you're not going to get on the train, you're going to get hit by it.
Well, and also it's a matter of respecting what makes people happy, that has no reflection on you, or no, it doesn't harm
none
you.
None whatsoever.
It doesn't hurt you at all to know what people would like to be called. And it's so freeing for people, and it costs you nothing to give people your respect.
That's right.
Boom.
I really didn't even know. Like, I've heard the terms, but I'm still getting educated. And I have a lot of gay friends. But I feel like it changes all the time. And
it's a quickly and constantly evolving community. And so I feel like, I know a lot of people feel like a ton of shame when they're like, I don't know, or I'm too afraid. But like, don't be afraid, because for the most part, people under the umbrella are like very welcome. You can ask questions and they're just like, listen, we're learning, you're learning. We know for a long time about ourselves.
I asked a gay friend one of these questions, and he was like, I don't even know. He goes, that's changing every day. And and the young folks might have a different answer than I would have, kind of like what you said, Joelle. Mm-hmm. So it's evolving. It feels every day, right?
Yeah. I think as long as you're trying to learn and being open and then respectful when people, you know, set
that's
boundaries
the most important. That's
you.
The most yeah. important thing. You know, and it's really easy to be respectful. It's the easiest thing on the planet.
Is.
You know what I mean? One of the easiest things on the planet.
Yeah, what is it? It doesn't cost you anything. Even if you know, your instinct is to roll your eyes at something, it doesn't cost you anything to give someone, another fellow human, respect.
Amen. Amen.
Should we have the caller in and take a break real quick?
We took a break already. Let's just bring the caller in.
Don't we need another break? I need a break to pee. We'll be right back. This cis man is going to go pee. I'll be right back. And we're back.
We're back again.
I'm going to hit a random key on the pad. I don't know what this one does. Let's see.
Wu-Tang Forever.
How'd you
know? Wu-Tang Forever. I knew it.
This one I haven't hit in a while. I don't know what it is.
What you trying to get into one day soon? What you trying to do?
That's such a hooky song.
Anytime my wife's phone rings, guess what it is?
That?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's
oh, we
a
forgot
ringtone.
These are all ringtones. We haven't told people that the ringtones are out in a very long time. If you're a new listener, you can get these as ringtones.
The ringtone.
They're on the iTunes store, right, Joelle?
Yeah.
What you trying to get into, Adeo Shun, what you trying to do is my wife's ringtone.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
That's how I know when somebody's
calling. We have to do our interview at 2:30, so we got to get the caller.
Let's get it going.
Get her in.
Yeah, let's
Washington
do it.
Post. Yes. We can't be late for the Washington Post.
I can't tell if this is a troll name or not, but their name is Neva, right?
What's the right name?
Give it up for Neva Wright.
Hi, Neva Wright.
It's Neva, but hi.
Oh, let me say that again. Sorry. Give it up for Neva Wright.
It's a funnier name if it's Neva Wright.
It is funnier. my stepdad likes to tease me and call me Never Right.
Well, we won't tease you here because we
your stepdad's a dick for that,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Only but, sometimes.
But I'm sure that's come up in your life. We're not very original with our humor, so I'm sure it's come up before.
Well, it's my married name, so it's only been the past 5 years that I've been Never Right.
Well,
what were you never before?
I was Never Vasquez.
Never Vasquez. Never Right's better. No, I'm just joking.
Where are you calling from, Neva Wright?
It's Neva.
Where are you calling from, Neva Wright?
It's all right. I'll respond to anything. Hey, you. I'm here for it.
You.
I'm from Grays Lake, Illinois, so it's about an hour north of Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. I went to the Harvard of the Midwest, Evanston, Illinois, Northwestern University.
I heard. I'm currently working at Northwestern Hospital, downtown Chicago. So.
Nice.
What do you do at the hospital?
I'm an ICU nurse.
Whoa. Oh,
do you want to tell them why you wrote in, Neva?
Well, you were already
Yeah,
impressed.
Absolutely. So I've been a huge fan of the show since like I was in high school prior to being in the medical field. I watched it like when I had my first apartment, there was no streaming services. I was young. There was no cable. So I watched it frontwards, backwards with commentary behind the scenes. Like when I was younger, I could tell you what line came from which season and like which episode. I'm old and my brain doesn't work anymore, so I don't know that anymore. But actually in March, I lost my job. And I, with all this newfound freedom or time, I was super devastated, but I watched Scrubs over again. And as I'm watching the show, like all these lessons that you guys learned through Dr. Cox and through the hospital really super resonated with me, like losing patients, like that episode where Dr. Cox loses all three of the patients. Like I was literally crying because I've been in that situation where I've gone home and I'm like, you know, I always joke, especially like during the pandemic, that I'd have a beer in my shower after every shift. Like it's my shower beer because I couldn't, it was super hard to like get through this past year. And like the cherry on top was losing my job in March. But you guys truly, truly, truly helped me moved past and like those lessons that you guys taught us. And it really helped me to move forward.
Wow. Thank you so much. Now, why did you lose your job in March? If did something happen? Because there's such a need for nurses, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was a mistake there. I had made a mistake. It got brought up to upper management and an investigation. Everything was had. And it was determined that I was too much of a liability. It's like,
oh, that's horrible.
It's really, really frustrating because I gave like, it was my dream job. Like I worked there for 8 years. I was an ICU nurse for 4.5 the last year. Like, so March of last year, sorry, I'm going to start crying.
It's okay. We're here to listen.
March of last year, I actually moved out of my house and went to a hotel for 40 something. I lived in like 6 hotels for 40 something days.
Wow.
During the beginning of the pandemic, because I have kids. And my mother-in-law was here watching my kids while I was at work. And there was so much unknown about the virus that I didn't want to bring it home. I didn't want to be the reason that anyone in my household got sick. So I made that choice to leave. I love what I do so much and with such a passion that I left. I went to a different sister hospital and worked with their really sickest patients. There's something called ECMO. Where it's heart lung bypass. I
know about that because our friend Nick was on ECMO, and he from Amanda's husband Nick Cordero.
Yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah, so I helped with that. Like, it was just super devastating because if you ask any one of my coworkers, I was like the person that you asked for anything. I was on so many committees at the hospital, and one mistake after a year of such hardship, and they're like, nope. You're too much of a liability. Bye.
Isn't there a union? Did the union help you at all?
Nurses don't have unions. There's in California, nurses have unions. Like there's a few, like the VA has a nurse union, but we don't have a nurse union.
Wow. So, and are you able to, even though you got out of that hospital, since you're so passionate about this and it's such a hard career, were you able to find a job at another place?
So I found a job with something that I was really passionate about, and it would have to be in collaboration. Like, something called Gift of Hope. So when you donate your when you're found brain dead and you donate your organs, I would go in and make sure that those organs were viable to be used for that next patient. And so I'd have to go back into my old ICU. It would be in collaboration with, it wouldn't be working for, but apparently someone from my old ICU told my new job. And so they rescinded their offer. So now I'm doing a travel nurse job. So I'm basically just kind of filling in where they need help. And so my first assignment was at Northwestern. So I live about an hour and a half away. So on my drive in and on my drive home, I listen to your guys' podcast.
Aww.
And it keeps me awake because I work night shift. So I just came off of three in a row. I work night shift. So as I'm driving home, you guys are like cracking me up and keeping me awake on my drive home.
Also, I'm so loud, aren't I?
Yeah, Donald's very so loud. Wait to hear the names he calls me on the coming up episode. It's just horrible.
Well, we've learned not to call you a wimp, Donald Faison, so I will nix that.
Yeah, don't call me a wimp.
We can call you a motherfucker, but not a wimp.
Yeah.
Don't call me a wimp.
I'm telling you this because your episode hasn't aired, but on last week's episode, he called me twat ears.
Oh.
It hurt my feelings. Yeah,
sorry. How do you even get that out without cracking up?
It's been really sticking with me. I find myself looking in the mirror at my ears and seeing if they look like vaginas. Good thing we have an ICU nurse here. She can tell me if my ears truly look like vaginas.
I've seen them in all shapes and sizes.
I bet you have.
Vaginas or ears?
Both.
Okay.
All the above.
Wait, now I want to help you. I wish there was a way we could strategize with you, unless you don't want to do it anymore. But it sounds like you do. Get back as an ICU nurse. Isn't there a way to do that?
No, I mean,
different...
I'm currently an ICU nurse at Northwestern.
Okay, and you're doing night shift there.
Yeah. So I, as a travel nurse, you tell them like your expertise and you know, and then they just hire you for like an 8-week contract. So like I you know, like I'm there for 8 weeks. In the ICU. And then I can go, sometimes they extend your contract at that same ICU.
You well, at
go
least you're, at least ICU. You're not, at least, and I'm not
still
just saying
in the
this,
game.
At least I, that of course, but, and I'm not just saying this because I love Northwestern, but it is a very, 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 very good hospital. So that's cool that you're at such a fancy place.
But also but imagine, you're still in the game and you didn't give up. That's the bet. That's the real deal. Holyfield right
there. Of course. Absolutely. And I bet you're not, I assume you aspire to find a great hospital that's closer to your house. You have to drive that far, right?
Right. I mean, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm kind of like in limbo, like not sure where I want to go next. I'm in school right now also for my nurse practitioner. So I have 2 years left until I'm there. So I'm kind of like, do I want to stick with this travel gig because the money is insane and I can pay for my degree? Because
then that's a yes. Yes.
Oh, so yeah. Yes. So I didn't know that when you do the travel nurse thing, because you're hopping from gig, it's almost like being freelance. The money's a lot better.
Oh yeah. I'm getting paid double what I was at my other hospital.
Oh,
hey,
you buried the lead. That's nice.
Oh. Right. But like my other hospital was paying for my degree. My master's degree. So now I have to find a way to pay for it. So it's kind of like
you're spending your own money now, whereas before you weren't. I get
which is like the whole reason I started. I was going to wait a little bit to get my nurse practitioner, but now, you know, I was like, oh, well, they're paying for it. Who knows how much longer they're going to be able to pay for it. And so I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And then now I have to pay for it. At least I got a year worth of them paying for it, but I'm still paying off my undergrad, which sucks. But
well, I just want to say I can't think of a more heroic job. I mean, to me, an ICU nurse. I've been around them both with my father and my sister, and of course Nick. And you know, I'll plug Amanda's book here. Amanda's written a book that's coming out called "Live Your Life," which is her story, and I'm halfway through it, and it's beautifully written. And I mean, when you the second you said you were an ICU nurse, I just thought of the book because you see in this how beautifully she was treated by them and how lovingly and caring they were to her whilst simultaneously trying to keep however many people alive who were at death's door. And just the the compassion they showed for her, and the love they shared for her, and they would set up an iPad so that she could talk to Nick every single day, and you know, little to big things and everything in between. So I have such a soft place in my heart for. I just find that job to be so taxing. You must have days where you come home and you can't believe what you just witnessed.
And you just have to have your shower beer.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds looks like you're having your shower beer outside of the shower now. Is that you're sitting on the couch after the shower beer?
Well, I woke up from my midday nap beer.
Right. Do you have to go back tonight or no?
No, 3 of 3 is enough. So I'm off for 2 days and then I work for 2 more. So.
Well, we are here to make you laugh and to cheer you up. Do you have any questions related to the show we can answer for you?
I do. So my question, like I said, that there was a lot of lessons that resonated with me and that I still like kind of think about even as I'm doing my job now. Are there any questions that Dr. Cox or, you know, the hospital taught you guys that you guys have continued to remember throughout your days?
You said questions, but I think you mean lessons, right?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something right now. I know that analgesic goes in your mouth and not your ass.
Yeah.
Because that of this show.
Very important lesson to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
It could pretty much work the same because you have mucous membranes that'll dissolve it and absorb it. But
it's not as comfortable as swallowing it.
It is not as comfortable for sure.
But it's like a sublingual vitamin you might take. If you put it in your anus, it might eventually get into your system, right, doc?
It turns into a suppository at that point. Yeah,
there you go.
I would just definitely recommend using lots of lube.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
See, write that down, Donald.
Lots.
If you have some problem swallowing pills, lube up your anus and stick them up there. Now, no, don't really do that. I have to say, in rewatching the show, there's lots of I don't know that one's coming to mind, but just like the audience who wasn't a part of the show, I feel like I learned life lessons, and it's very heartwarming and reminds you. It reminds you of the things that are priorities in your life and what you want to focus on, friendship and love
and love
going after your dreams. I mean, that's the really common themes of the show. I think the biggest concept of the whole show, the biggest theme is friendship and the strength of being in a community with people that love you. And I think about that all the time. Donald.
Awesome.
No, I answered my question. I answered the question already.
No, I'm just saying that you're a part of my community and I love you.
Oh, I love you too, bro.
And so are Joel and Dan.
And your twat ears.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
I just want to grab them. I just want to grab them and fuck them.
No, too much? Fuck my ears?
Come on, man.
We have a guest in the house, honey.
I'm taking this close. Headphones off
again. Don't take your headphones off. I just can't wait for the
Neva,
day
I'm
when somebody
Neva,
this. Sorry to say this, but I can't wait for the day when you're walking down the street and somebody goes, "Hey, twat is."
Oh my goodness. No.
I can't wait for that day to happen.
That's going to happen. That's going to
be a bad reaction. Do not
I'm not going to like that. So please, weird. If you see me on the street, don't call me twat ears.
Hey, look who it is, guys. It's twat ears over there.
And then he keeps going. He's like, "Hey, I want to fuck your ears."
I can't wait. Come here, let me fuck your ears.
And his buddies are like, "Bro, calm down. You're saying you want to fuck a man's ears? Give me those fucking little twatties. I want to fuck them.
Fucking twatties. Come on.
Hey, it's not gay. It's twatties. They're like little vaginas." I'm still cis.
I'm still a cis man.
I'm still cis. I just like fucking dudes ears.
Okay. None of those things.
All right, we're back. Do you have another question for us, Neva?
No, wait, not yet.
We need to come down from that.
Yeah, we're back. We're back. We got you laughing. That's all I care about. Do you have another question for us?
I do. So if you guys weren't actors, what else would you guys be doing?
Donald, don't do the same joke. What else would we be doing if we weren't actors, Donald? Donald would be a basketball
coach. I'd be an animator.
No, I'd be an animator. Donald would be an animator full-time.
I'd be a stop-motion animator full-time.
I would be a cinematographer, I think, because I love cameras and I love. You probably want an answer that has nothing to do with entertainment, right?
I was going to say this is okay. Think about little Zach and Donald.
All right, let's pick something.
Superman.
No, bro, not a Superman.
That little.
Oh, okay.
Think of something. Let's both answer if it's outside the entertainment industry.
I can't. I grew up in theater, like everything.
Okay,
that
is there someone else's career that you go, oh, that's a cool job?
You never wanted to be like a firefighter or?
Yeah, firefighter's cool, Donald.
No, man, I'm scared to burn.
You'd have a Dalmatian.
I'm scared to burn.
I would be a firefighter. That's a cool job. A paramedic, actually. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a paramedic. I've told this before, but I volunteered on our volunteer squad, and then the paramedics would come down from the hospital, and I just thought they were such badasses and so cool. And I remember there was a time in high school where I was so clearly on a path to be in entertainment, but I did daydream about the idea of being a paramedic. I always thought that was such a cool job, coming to the rescue like a superhero.
Other than Superman and an animator.
Those aren't the jobs. Those aren't. That's okay. You can't think of anything, and nothing outside of being a superhero.
I think that's why I am where I am today. There was nothing else. Like when I was 5 years old, the one thing that I wanted to do was be an actor, and I would tell everybody from that age on, I'm gonna be an actor when I grow up. And so it's really hard for me to think of another job that I would have done.
What about a high school basketball coach?
No.
Okay. I'm just daydreaming. I'm brainstorming for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, but I'm going to stick with what I said before.
Okay. There's our answers for you. I also like architecture and design. I think that's something that always intrigues me. I really like designing houses.
Were out here in like the Evanston area, did you ever go on the architecture tour in Chicago, like the boat tour?
I didn't, but I saw people doing it, and that's a really cool thing to do because there's some amazing buildings in Chicago.
Yeah, there totally is. Yeah.
Well, we're not going to fix your life because we know what your issue is, but it sounds like you're on the correct path. You are really, you didn't get deterred. I'm sure it was hard and it was a struggle, but it sounds like you're right back on out there and you got right back on the horse and you are making even more money than you were.
Yeah, that's what's important, right?
And most importantly, you have a clear goal. You said you're going to become a nurse practitioner. It's so important, I think, in life to have a clear place where you're heading. That's why we always talk about the whiteboard, because it helps you to like at least know where you're heading. And you give yourself a target to aim at, you know?
Most important thing, Neva, is to forgive yourself. You know what I mean? That's the most important thing. We all make mistakes. We don't know what your mistake was, but we all make mistakes, and you know it happens. And so, it's very important that you forgive yourself. You know, yeah. You don't need to worry about everybody else. You just keep pushing forward, and you know, I'm sure eventually you'll find a way to correct said mistake, whether it be through triumph or whether it be literal, where you are back at the place where you began.
And also think of all the lives that you are saving as you do this incredibly heroic job being an ICU nurse. I mean, I think you guys should wear capes. I think that should be mandatory. So just focus on all the good that you're doing and all the difference you're making in the world. And we salute you. If we were in person, we would bow down to you, but we'll just do it. Donald, do this.
I wouldn't bow down, but I'd salute for sure.
Donald, why can't you do a ceremony?
I bow down to no one.
You fucking. All right. Oh, before I forget, do you like kombucha by any chance?
I do. I love kombucha.
Well, thank goodness, because you are a hero and because you are an amazing human being, we are sending you a case of GT's kombucha.
That's awesome. Thank you.
And you will love it. Donald and I always get very excited when we get a shipment, and you are about to get the mother load of amazing different flavors from the good people at GT's Kombucha. And Joelle will get all your info, and that will land at your door. And don't let any children or relatives try and steal them from you, because that's what happens in Donald's house. He puts them in the fridge, and all the kids take them.
My kids drink my kombucha.
My kids don't like anything with bubbles in it, so I
okay. Get there. Well, then you're okay. Then you're okay.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what I did right, but
All right. Well, that's it. We have to go do an interview with the Washington Post because we're that fancy. Donald, do you want to straighten awesome. Your t-shirt? It's about the podcast, Nima. They somehow the Washington Post wants to interview us.
Well, why wouldn't they?
I wish I had a nicer outfit on than this camo hoodie, but it is what it is, Donald.
5, 6, 7, 8 Stories about a show we made about a bunch of doctors and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story.